myself and you as well, that we might be blessed together. I had the thought when I was studying this lesson. Folks are either going to love this or hate it. Because I remember a sister from Northern Illinois one time making the statement about the book of James that there ought to be a label upon it that said this is hazardous to the flesh. If somebody's in the flesh and fleshly minded, they may not appreciate some of the lesson tonight. But we don't want to be that way, do we? Pardon? That's right. We want anything we can that will help us deal with this old flesh. We can't get rid of it. We carry it around with us everywhere we go. But we need the help of the Lord to help us, strengthen us, draw us close to Him, because that's the best place to be. So after we have been instructed on how to hear and how we are to receive the engrafted word, if you remember last lesson, James then proceeds to instruct us on what we're to be doing as true disciples. The key there is doing, right? Not just hearing, not just knowing, but doing. Verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, is that possible, that we can deceive our own selves? Well, your first clue is that's what the Bible says. So that's the truth. But a person that's deceived in themselves won't believe that you can deceive yourself. Right? All right? It's not enough just to hear the Word of God. It is indeed a blessed privilege to be able to hear and understand the Word, isn't it? I mean, it's just by the grace of God that we have an ear to hear. All right? But hearing the Word in and of itself is not what honors God. Now, I'm thankful that you're here. The Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. So we want to obey that command, right? But just hearing is not what brings forth that which honors the Lord. I'm happy that you're here. I pray the Lord will bless us all that we'll hear the message tonight. In Amos 8:11, it speaks of a time when God's people would not have that privilege. And some, you know, I've been made to wonder in the last few years, more than all of my life, if our privilege of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and a lot of other freedoms that we have right now might be taken away or greatly infringed upon. We've never had to worry about, or at least not in a long, long time has this nation had to worry about things like that. And as far as worrying, we know who's in control. But if you've read your Old Testament, you know there were times in Israel's disobedience, they went into bondage. They suffered greatly. And I'm satisfied there were those who were faithful and humble and following the Lord. And they went away into bondage just like the rest. All right, but Amos said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Not just the word, but the words You know, there are already ordinances passed around this country that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And that preaching the Word of God is constituted as hate crimes in some places. Well, they can call it what they want to, but we want to preach the Word, don't we? We want to teach what God says about it. All right? So the Lord told Israel there would come a time when there would be a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And in fact, hearing but rejecting God's word brought this famine in upon God's people. Now, did you hear that? When God's people heard it but rejected it. We are seeing a lot of that today, aren't we? A lot of it. Okay. So, those who hear but do not do deceive themselves. They think that they please God just because of what they know. But this lesson shouts to those who think that to do more. You know, the Word of God is like that. It calls upon us to do more. The old flesh says, you're doing enough already. The old flesh says, let somebody else do it. Are we doing enough already? Okay. So we're not thinking that way. I hope not. All right. All right, so be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We could slip into a mindset that we're doing enough already. We could slip into that mindset of thinking that I don't need to do this. Let somebody else do it. When the word tells us to be doers of the word. It's not just the hearing of it that's pleasing to God. It's when we put it into action. Because it's the fruit that brings glory to God. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Talking about a mirror, aren't we? What would happen if you lost all your mirrors in your house? Well, you wouldn't know about it. Well, I'm about to get ahead of myself. Think of looking into a mirror, good or bad. Surprising or not, like it or not, it tells it like it is. And that's the point of this verse. The mirror tells it, unless you got one of those crazy things that stretches things out of proportion and all that. We're talking about one that you use on a regular basis. It tells it like it is. Now, why would the Lord, in His Word, give us something like that? Because His Word tells it like it is. Like it or not, surprised or not, it tells it like it is. So, no wonder God's Word, which is so rich in comparisons and contrasts and analogies and so forth, would use something that us common folk could understand how to use it, and then point us to the Word of God and say, now the Word of God can do that for us spiritually. if we don't reject it. Right? Okay. A person that's a hearer of the word, not a doer, is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. All right? So it tells it like it is. And likely, if you see something wrong or out of place, you'll do something about it. Right? Yeah. And we're talking about looking in the mirror. You know, evidently, we're talking about after you've taken care of that first time in the morning. Right? But, all right. So you're going to look in the mirror, maybe just before you leave the house, and if something's out of place, you're going to do something about it, aren't you? I mean, you know, sometimes folks don't care. But this is an important point now, and it is really fundamental to this lesson. You're going to do something about it, aren't you? Right? Why? Look the best you can. That's important, isn't it? It's important to us, isn't it? Right? Because natural appearance is representing me. And I want me to look as good as I can. Me. Right? Okay. So whose love is in play here? If I want me to look as good as I can, who am I really loving? Self has a lot to do with this, doesn't it? All right? But that's the natural. We want the spiritual. This lesson takes that highly useful tool of a mirror and our powerful drive to look good and says we should make use of what we see spiritually to represent our Lord well. So when we look into the Word of God and it shows something that's out of place or needs adjusting, what are you going to do? We hope so. We hope you're going to fix it. But I'm afraid a lot of folks won't. That goes against the flesh. That takes some effort. Are we going to be a doer? And if we see that in the mirror, are we going to do something to try to fix it? See why I said you'll either love this or hate it? Because what it gets down to is the Word of God shows us what we need to do to represent Him well. We'll do what we have to make ourselves look good. But will we do what we need to do to represent Him well? Whose love is at play then? Do we love the Lord enough to represent Him well and make the changes we need to make when we look into that spiritual mirror? Isn't that a profound question? And one that you need to think about. I mean, you can give an answer right away. But the next time you look in that mirror, that spiritual mirror, and you see something that needs changing, are you going to change it? Because it's not going to make you look good. You want to represent your Lord well. Isn't that what we need to be as a disciple? We need to be more like Him. We need to draw closer to Him. We need to show forth His love. We need to show forth his attributes. We need to do whatever we have to do to ourselves based on this word so that we, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, can represent him well. Not just a hearer, but hear it and do it. Right? Isn't that the bottom line? Will we do it? If we won't, what does that say about our love for God? We're coming short, aren't we? All right. So some are hearers and doers, some are not. And why? Whose love is driving them? Is it a love for self or is it a love for God? That's what it comes down to, isn't it? And I put John 14:15 there with a question mark. But I didn't put the verse. Do you remember what that verse is? If ye love me, do we love the Lord? Oh, sure, preacher, we do. Everybody's going to say that, aren't they? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, when you look into that mirror and you see something that needs changing, change it. Do what we need to do to honor him, to serve him. That's what the Word of God's for. That's what the principles in the Bible teach us, how we can live to his honor, how we can honor him more, how we can be more like him because of all he's already done for us. That's your reason. We're not waiting for God to do something great for us. He's already done it. He couldn't do anything better for you than what he's already done. So we want to respond to his love. That's right. That's right. So verse 24. For he beholdeth. Now he's talking about the person that he says, if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's likening to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself. All right. He sees something, shines some light on what he is. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right, you know what that's like in a mirror. But what we're talking about is the Lord showing us something about what we're like. Something about us. We see it, but then we forget it. If we see it and just forget it, must not be very important to us. Okay? So that's why we have to understand what he's saying here. All right? That person that is a hearer but not a doer, beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, that brief glimpse of real truth didn't cause any changes in behavior. The Word of God ought to change us, right? I remember a church, I guess it was Midland City, but between Dothan and Ozark, I used to ride up 231 and had a marquee out there. It says, come as you are, but expect to change. I thought it was a good thought. It's a good thought. The Word of God. I mean, we come so far short. When we understand the Word of God, it ought to cause us to change. Okay? So, that brief glimpse, real truth, didn't cause any changes in behavior. I wonder how often that happens as God's people hear or read the truth of God's Word and feel convicted. How often do you suppose that happens? I might not want to know. We hear it. There's some conviction because there's something that stepped on our toes somewhere. And we just forget it. Just think about something else. Want the preacher to get on something else and stop meddling. Right? And likely, something needs to change, but their love to please God is not strong enough, so they just choose to ignore it and don't do it. That's the hearer and not the doer, right? I mean, let's just understand what's really happening here. If there's not enough love to honor the Lord, then we just kind of shuffle it aside, right? Friends, this is bad for your spiritual hearing and memory. It'll make you deaf. Rejecting the Word of God, rejecting those convictions that we feel when we read the Word and know that something needs changing, but we decide or choose not to. It'll make you deaf. Spiritually, it'll make you cold-hearted and uncaring to do God's will. And it'll get easier and easier to forget what manner of man we are, even as we hear what needs to change. You ever rubbed a blister on your hand? Sure you have. Maybe heal up, and if you keep working with your hands, you might rub it again, but second or third time, you don't blister, do you? You just form a callus. And that callus is tough. And that callus doesn't hurt when you take the same treatment like it did when it was tender. You know, your heart's kind of like that. Sometimes you can get calloused, not as much feeling, by rejecting the Word of God. We want to keep our heart tender with regard to the things of God. If there's something about me that needs to change, I want the Spirit to convict me, and I want to know about it. Because if I correct it now, it'll be a whole lot better than waiting a long time from now when it's a whole lot worse, right? Staying close to the Lord. Stay more sensitive to that conviction when something needs to change, okay? God has given us His Spirit to show us, to guide us, and convict us, to help us see how to be more like Him. So let's not be just hearers, but doers. And I repeated John 14:15. All right, remember what that said? If you love me. That's a good verse to remember, right? Okay. So this is what the Spirit led James to warn. We're tempted to hear and straightway forget and not do as the Spirit convicts. We've all been there, right? Okay. One way or another, one subject or another, we've all been there. Now, would the Spirit lead us in any way that would be less than the best for us? Think about that for a second. The blessing that we have of the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, would it lead us anywhere that would be less than the best for us? Would the Spirit lead us in a way that would bring less glory to God? No. So following the leadership of the Spirit is the best for you, and it brings the most glory to God. Sounds like where we need to be. And if we love the Lord, if we want to serve Him faithfully, if we want to represent him well, that's right where we need to be. Following the leadership of the Spirit. If it convicts us, it means we're out of the way somewhere. All right. But this can so easily happen. So the Spirit won't lead us where it's not the best for us, where it's not going to bring the most glory to God. He never will do that. But this can so easily happen by deception. We can be deceived. Similarly, Paul warned the Roman brethren not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. That's how we get deceived, isn't it? By thinking too highly of ourselves. We know a lot. What we're talking about tonight is we don't want to just be those who hear and know. We want to be those who do. Okay? Because that's what brings glory to God. Okay, what Paul said to the Roman brethren, they were to think soberly, as James says, not deceiving yourselves. So remember why the Spirit pricked you and act upon it. Okay. Love the Lord enough to represent him well. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That's that spiritual looking glass, by the way. That's that spiritual mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice it didn't say doer of the word, but doer of the work. Okay? Actively engaged in doing that. All right? So we're to look with careful examination, remember what we saw, and continue striving to improve. The perfect law of liberty is God's standard of conduct. All right? God's standard of conduct. It's how we should live. Okay? It's learned by reading his word, by prayer, and following the Spirit. Okay? Have you ever been convicted by something you've been praying about? Maybe not necessarily being convicted against what you're praying, but just in your prayers, you have some convictions about something. Okay? The Spirit's leading. The Spirit's good for that, isn't it? It's good about leading us in the right way. And the clearer we remember what we look like in the light of God's standard, the more we see in ourselves that we need to fix. Okay? That's why reading the Word of God is so important. It keeps it in memory. It helps us to remember what we are like against God's righteous standard. You know, we can get into trouble measuring ourselves among ourselves, right? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about that. Don't do that. We need to measure ourselves against God's standard. What he tells us in the Word. So in order to do that, we need to know what the Word says. We need to know God's will in the matter so that we can know how to live our lives. All right? So, do we love him enough to do that? All right, that's the question. When we're talking about knowing, hearing, and not doing, it comes down to a matter of love, doesn't it? All right, remembering his love to us motivates us to represent him better. Remembering his love for us. That's motivating to me. How about you? Remembering his love motivates us to represent him better, to do a better job as a disciple, to do a better job as a doer of the work, not just a hearer. Okay? When it comes time for preaching, I'm glad for hearers. Somewhere in here, I make the statement, though, or remind you, we enter here to worship, but we depart to do what? There you go. You're ahead of me already. So look into that perfect law of liberty. Remember what you see. Know that he's showing it to us in love, and do what we need to do and show love to him by doing it. That's simple, isn't it? Okay. But if we're not thinking about his love, if we're not thankful for all that he's done for us, we're likely to slip into a fleshly mindset. We need, that's paramount, that we remember God's love for us. Isn't that a continuing theme through the Bible? To love God more than ourselves. That's the challenge. That's the challenge that we face every day, the flesh against the spirit. Okay, verse 26. Is any man among you, if any man among you, seem to be religious? Seem to be religious. And bridleth not his tongue. Oh, James, why'd you have to get on that? Right? Okay, there's only one verse here. We're going to get a lot into the tongue later on in James. But there's only one verse right here. If any man among you seem to be religious, I'm so thankful that we live in the Bible Belt. A lot of good folks around. Lots of good folks. I've traveled the country, and there's a lot of good people in this country. There's some other folks, too. I've traveled some of those places. But there's some of those around here, too, right? And then there's those who seem to be religious. If you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, what does the Lord say about that? If he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. Empty. No value. It won't be blessed. It's no value to you or anyone else. In fact, well, let's see. It's no honor to the Lord, regardless of what you know. In fact, this is hypocrisy. Hypocrite. And that is what the most scathing rebuke that the Lord handed out in his ministry. Matthew 23. You remember that chapter? Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Do you remember how many times in that chapter the Lord said that? Seven or eight. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. The Lord hates deception that gives the appearance of godliness. That's what we're talking about. But inwardly, the heart is far from it. And how is this often manifested? By the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The attention we give or don't give to using our tongue displays how much the heart is devoted to representing our Lord well. I wanted to keep repeating that. That's a very important part to this lesson. If we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe every one of us here tonight are, if we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we want to represent Him well. We want to represent Him as best we can, which means we've got to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to be looking into that perfect law of liberty. We've got to be remembering what we saw when we looked into it. And by looking into it, I mean either reading the Word or hearing the Word when it's preached. And as those thoughts come to mind, and as it brings to mind some idea of something that needs to be changed in our life, don't ignore it. Do something about it. That's how we grow, isn't it? Now, do you think this is a needful lesson tonight? You know, we're all somewhere in the spectrum of following our Lord. But we all need to be growing in grace every day. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our mind and heart, or is our mind and heart set upon His love for us and how we should return love to Him? Is that what we're thinking about? His love for us and how we should return love to Him? Yes. It will do us good. Think about that on a daily basis, all right? So we don't want this vain religion, do we? Okay. Verse 27. Pure religion. Pure. By the way, I didn't put this in the notes, but religion can be anything, can it? Anything you practice on a regular basis, you can be religious about it. It can be your religion. All right. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. In other words, this is what we want. This is what we're seeking. If we're going to represent our Lord well, if we're going to remember His love for us and show it to Him, if we love Him and keep His commandments, then we want to know what pure religion and undefiled is, how we can do that. And He says it's this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. Purity. Being undefiled before God. We desire that, don't we? And we know that only the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely pure. But because of what He's done for us, then in Him, we are pure. But as far as the practical realm is concerned, we want to strive to do the best we can. All right? So, being undefiled before God, that should be the focus of every Christian. That should drive us to the Word of God so that we can see ourselves as we really are instead of what we think ourselves to be. Because we started out by saying we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves in some aspect or another. All right. So we want the Word of God to show us what we really are. Okay? And it'll do that. All right? If we're reading it the right way. All right? Thus we can, with purity of heart and desire, represent our Lord and not be a hypocrite. Okay? God sees perfectly, but we don't. But His Word and Spirit helps us to bring it into focus, and they help us see how we can work toward improvement. But again, the motivation to do it will be fueled by remembering his great love for us. All right? That should cause each of us to ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? Love that passage in the book of Acts, don't you? When Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, one of the first things, you know, he said, who art thou, Lord, first. But then he said, what would you have me to do? That's what we ought to be asking every day. So we're remembering his love, trying to do what we can to live before him in a way that represents him well. With that in place, our religion will not be in vain. There'll be some benefit. There'll be some blessing. There'll be some profit. I'm not talking about profit in the way of money in the bank. I'm talking about benefit, added benefit, growth. Okay? Now, our religion would not be made, but instead, it should produce action. So what kind of action? What are we looking for? Yeah. That's it. Fruit of the Spirit, right? Okay. But fruit. Not just thoughts. Fruit. Actions. Okay. James addressed a great need in their day to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Think about it. These would not have anyone, you know, the fatherless and the widows would not have anyone to provide for them or help them. You know, in the day this was being written, you know, they didn't have welfare programs and different things. And so widows, they had a real problem, didn't they? They didn't have someone to provide for them and to help them. Okay? God's word gives special provisions for how we should take care of widows that are widows indeed. Widows indeed are those who don't have family, whose responsibility first is to take care of those widows. Okay? And the fatherless. Same situation, right? Fatherless, those who don't have someone to provide for them. In that day, James says, you look at these. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit. That word visit there is more than just to go stop by sometime. It means to see to their need and do something about it. Right? That's what we're talking about here, about visiting the fatherless and the widows, those who need help, seeing to that need and doing something about it. Do you hear that action word, doing something? That's our lesson tonight, isn't it? Doing something about it. Remember a story one time of the preacher that went to visit the widow and got to the gate of the house, and the gate was about to fall off its hinges. You know, got stumbled up the steps because they were broken down and falling in, and got to the door, and the handle come off the door. And he gets in the house and says, Sister Jones, anything we can do for you? See the need. He zeroes in, and in that culture, that was probably the most pressing need for the church to see and do something about, was the widows and the fatherless. Well, in principle, we've got a lot of that today, but there's lots of ways that we can see the need and do something about it. And if the church is fulfilling what it should do, it's doing something about those needs. That's what James, by the Spirit, tells us is pure religion and undefiled. I'm thankful that we can gather here and huddle together in the safety of this building and hear from the Word of God. But we come here to worship. we depart to serve. And we've got a lot more time between now and the next time we're to gather together to worship. And we have opportunities to serve God's people. But last time I checked, we don't have a big E on our forehead that says elect. We don't know who is and who isn't God's people. That's God's business. We're to try to do what we can to be a help to others. Because that's precisely what God did for us. He came to where we were. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He showed love and mercy and compassion upon us. He sent his own Son in this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. And now, in telling us to love one another, here he's saying it by saying, visit the fatherless and the widows. In other words, see to the need, do something about it. If we're going to be religious folk in the right sense, we need to find ways to do something for others. Because he said that's true religion and undefiled before God. All right? Let's see what we say in the notes. All right, the fatherless and the widows. Think about it. These would not have anyone to provide for them nor help them. We know they have the Lord, right? We've got the Lord. But the Lord often puts it on the heart of people to help them. Isn't it a blessing when somebody comes along and gives you a helping hand? And whenever that happens, you can properly say it's from the Lord. But he used somebody to bring it to you. He used somebody to do it for you. So why not be one of those people that the Lord would use to help somebody else? If he's put that on your heart. Their affliction returns every day. It says visit the fatherless widow in their affliction. Think about a widow. She's not a widow on Tuesdays and Fridays and Sunday. I mean, she is, but not just those days, right? It's every day. Their affliction is every day. Can you do something? Something? You might not be able to supply a lot, but there might be something you can do. Until you figure it out, you can pray for them. Okay? All right. Their affliction returns every day. The kind of visiting under consideration here is to visit, to see to and satisfy their needs. We're blessed to know that our Father is watching over us and providing for us, so be more like him and show mercy and compassion in more than just thoughts. Not a hearer only, but doers, right? Put feet to those good feelings and be a doer of the work. Okay? We assemble in the house of God to worship, but we depart to serve. This was a common need in their day, and we can easily find many needs around us in ours. Okay? This is the characteristic of true Christianity. Yes, we want to learn. Yes, we want to hear the word. Yes, we want to grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth, but it needs to come out in actions. It needs to come out in being doers of the word. Now, part of that is just living according to these principles, you know, living a righteous life. But it also involves being a help, showing love and compassion to others. So finally, James says to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Now that's important too, isn't it? You can just see all through these teachings in James how there was a need. You know, in the early days of the church, when there were so many that joined the church at one time, right? Thousands on one day. And it's very likely that they hadn't heard a lot of preaching. Very likely they hadn't heard a lot of these principles. There was a great need for them to learn and to be taught. And so the book of James, principle by principle, like Isaiah said, line upon line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Isn't that simple, isn't it? I don't want to be degrading the Word of God, but little by little, here a little, there a little, he goes on to say. Here a little, there a little. Okay? We grow. We learn. And hopefully we can take what we learn and put it into action. But to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, worldly motives like selfishness and wanting our alms to be seen by others can defile what we do. We want what's pure and undefiled before God. We must keep looking into that spiritual mirror to check for spots of worldliness. We may be deceived, but God sees all hypocrisy. So remember God's love. Let it motivate you to do His will for others. Check your motives to keep them pure, and you'll be blessed. This man, James said, shall be blessed in his deeds. May God help us to lay. It's a simple lesson. When you break it down, you see that love's involved here. Sometimes love of self overpowers our expression of love for God. So we have to be careful, don't we? Need not be deceived in the matter. But try to live honestly, without hypocrisy, and represent our Lord well in our discipleship. May God bless you is our prayer.
I look bad anytime, but I look worse that time before. And I just couldn't come in here because of the way I look. And I didn't know y'all were having church, or I would have did a little different. But I had to go some to get some parts and come back by here to leave you that paperwork.
Okay.
And I was just going to put it in the door like they had before, and y'all was all in. And I took and I never seen nothing. It looked as bad as all of that thing. And I said, I just can't go there. I mean, I was honest about what I told you.
Yeah. All right, any comments or questions?
In that car, and it scared me. So, like you say, well,
All right, Sister Nancy had a comment that I've given you some homework. Okay. All right. We'll see how well we do then. Yeah. All right. And all the Word of God's like that, though, isn't it? Sometimes we can just drink it in because it's speaking of the glory and the wonders of our God and all that He's done for us. But there's a whole lot that tells us what we need to do to show our appreciation for what He has done. All right. Yes. There are ways that we can remind ourselves.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. I encourage that. All right, anything else? Number 187 has been selected. 187, we announce an open door.